It should come as no surprise. Geopolitics and everything that's happening in the world is going to weigh in on the markets, but so is stuff here in the States, including what we see in WASDE, planning intentions, and the weather. Hi, I'm Susan Littlefield with the American Ag Network. Lots to unpack today with Arlen Suderman over at StoneX, but let's start out with the geopolitics side of it all, because obviously it changes from moment to moment. The markets continue to watch what's happening. From your perspective, how do you see this filtering into our ag commodities?
Well, I think the biggest part is the part that's getting very little attention. That's the fertilizer side of it. There's a lot of focus on energy prices, and we've certainly seen that at the pump with gasoline prices jumping and diesel prices jumping. And it's all about the Strait of Hormuz, that little narrow 11-mile wide passage that ships have to pass through near Iran in order to exit where they've loaded up. And 20% of the world's oil goes through that strait. And right now it's basically at a standstill because the insurance rates have either gone so high they can't afford to pass through, or they've lost their insurance coverage or just simply don't want to take the risk. And that's something that President Trump is trying to address right now. That's easier said than done. But what isn't getting talked about is that roughly a third of the world's urea nitrogen fertilizer goes through there as well, and about 20-25% of our anhydrous ammonia and the bulk of the phosphate that we import goes through there. And so this is right as we're approaching spring planting season, and you think, well, a lot of that's already in position, but it's a world market. And just like gasoline prices, you know, the gasoline at your local station may have been supplied at a lower price, but when the world market jumps, so does your local station. They don't wait for the higher price gas to get there. And we've seen fertilizer prices jump as a result here. And so the timing isn't good ahead of spring planting. Hopefully this will be a quick war, so to speak, and we'll get movement through the Strait of Hormuz soon and be able to get prices back down once again. But that's probably the most disruptive right now for agriculture.
Well, and I had read something earlier today, Arlen, and of course, as you and I are talking, I'm trying to span through it. Oh, that Pakistan was asking Saudi Arabia to move oil through the Red Sea port because of that strait and trying to get away from that threat that's there.
Yeah, and there are some pipelines that do go across the Saudi peninsula that do allow some of the oil to move via pipeline. And that opportunity presents for oil, but that's not there for the fertilizer. And so, again, that should help ease. There's a probably, it still leaves you with about a 2.6, 2.8 million barrel per day deficit on the crude oil side, if in fact they utilize all the avenues they do have at an increased cost, but still eases the supply pinch somewhat on crude oil, but that doesn't help with the fertilizer.
So then as we look at other factors that are weighing in, I mean, just here in the States, we've got a WASDE report out next Tuesday and the much-anticipated planning intentions report, which, Arlen, has a lot of dates and things falling at the same time.
Yeah, it really does. If planning intentions and quarterly stocks report surveys are out right now, and the results will be released on March 31, something they do every year. And that's where we get the big market moving surprises. And that's what the market is truly focused on right now. But also March 31 is the day that President Trump lands in Beijing for 3 days of meetings there. And where we anticipate the possibility of another trade deal, possibly another 8 million metric tons of soybeans, possibly other commodities. We don't know, but the soybeans is something that President Trump raised the possibility of about 4 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago today, in fact. So we should know by then on that. Also by then, we should have the final biofuel guidelines from the EPA. In fact, we could get them a couple weeks earlier now, but certainly by then. So that's a critical date. That leaves us right now, though, just marking time with nothing really driving. And so when you look, okay, what do we have to trade? Oh, man, the forecasts have significant rains for some dry areas of the plains and the Midwest. That makes a path of least resistance for today anyway to the downside.
And you talk those rains, Arlen, and they're talking some areas of 4+ inches. It's not going to completely alleviate it, but it's sure going to help, especially when we look at the winter wheat.
Yeah, exactly right. Rain does make grain, and that's the way the market interprets it. There's still potential problems out there, but for right now, they don't really have a story. And without a story in a time of drifting, without a driver, unfortunately, when we're amply supplied, that allows prices to slip lower.
All right, curiosity might kill the cat, but what is going on in this cattle complex today?
It's been volatility restored again. We had a big sell-off late last week, and now the money's coming flowing back into that cattle market. We substantially have slowed the chain speed even more this week than last week, and as a result, we're seeing the push higher in the product market amid this strong inelastic consumer demand in the United States, where they, and frankly around the world, where they just want more and more protein. And so that has helped the packer margins. And in fact, the average loss per animal probably been, it looks like it's been cut essentially in half now from what it was at record levels here not long ago or close to record levels. But it's still significant. Nonetheless, it's expected that that enables the packers to maybe pay up. The board was already at a significant discount. And so the board trying to catch back up with where the cash market might trade later this week.
And pork taking and hogs taking advantage as well as what they see in this cattle complex.
Certainly are. We were, went through the liquidation phase in the hog market a little bit earlier and have been rebuilding and have some constructive chart signals there. And that has enabled some interesting dynamics there. We're seeing a rise in open interest, significant rise in open interest in the hog complex. Mostly for those summer contracts, which suggests that we're seeing some pretty active hedging by producers there, seeing some opportunities to lock in some profitable margins as we go through the summer.
Arlen Suderman joining us today with StoneX. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. That's the Wednesday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.